Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And often when we talk about the news and the headlines and everything going on, you hear a word called globalism. What is it? What's behind it? Well, I am so honored to have with us today Larry Schweitzkard. He's a film producer, musician, historian, the author of a book entitled A Patriot's History of Globalism, Its Rise and Decline. And there's a picture of the cover of his book there on the screen. Larry is also the co-author with Micah Allen of the New York Times number one bestseller, A Patriot's History of the United States. He's been also almost on all the media. And Glenn Beck to Rush Limbaugh in 2019, he founded Wild World of History curriculum website. And there's a picture of that website. And his website is called wildworldofhistory.com. So even though he's been on all those other shows, he's now made it to the big time. He is on the Dove Television Network.
Hi, Perry.
Hi, Larry. How are you, friend?
Good. You know, back when we did that film, Rockin' the Wall, we got the Dove seal of approval, which is pretty amazing given it's a movie about rock and roll.
Well, that's great. Good for you. Congratulations. How are you? Where are we Skyping you in from? Where are you?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's a beautiful 75 degrees, t-shirt and shorts weather.
Oh, that a boy. Good stuff. Well, congratulations on the release of your new book. Why did you take on globalism?
Well, it was a big topic. In the last 10 years, it's really become a big topic for reasons of, obviously, the vax was one of the leading instigators of people to say, wait a minute, is this being perpetrated on us by elites and global elites? Finances have always been an issue, whether it's the World Bank or the UN. So it just seemed to be a topic that needed addressing. And what I showed was that it's been a 200-year journey going back to the Congress of Vienna, through the Treaty of Versailles, through the UN, the International Monetary Fund, Bretton Woods, all the way to the present. So these guys have been at it for some time, and I guess the good news is so far they've failed.
Yeah, that's the good news. How would you define globalism, Larry?
Controlled by small groups of international elites over large masses of people without concern for national borders.
What's so interesting to me is those who believe in those people don't realize that they'll never rise to the level of those that they support.
Well, yeah, and that those people look down on the rest of us like you couldn't imagine. I mean, it's just, it's almost in an abused spouse situation where they absolutely hate us. If you listen to the guy I call the false prophet, Noah Harari, he basically says you're all going to be serfs or slaves, and that's it.
Yeah. Why are they failing?
Well, most recently, I think they had one of their best shots with the COVID China virus vax, and they got about 82% of Americans to take the first vax. That number dropped to 50% with the second one. Right now, polls show people only about 1% are willing to take another one. So that completely destroyed trust in international elites and their abilities to control medicine. So if you notice the last Davos meeting, their theme was restoring trust. Well, good luck with that. No leader showed up. I mean, Biden didn't go, Putin didn't go, Xi didn't go. The only real leader of any note who went was Javier Milei of Argentina, and he went so he could read him the Riot Act. So,
yeah. What'd you think of that? I mean, this guy's new to the scene. He gets up there and he takes these elites and he just wrings their neck. I mean, this was a big deal.
Yeah, muy bueno, muy bueno. I like it. I mean, more people should be doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are obviously losing clout. Soros pulled completely out of Europe about a year ago. We see here in America, I'm very optimistic because we see the court, which predominantly is put in place by President Donald Trump, has really been on a rampage deconstructing a lot of what we would call the swamp or the deep state. For example, West Virginia versus the EPA, the court sided with West Virginia. And this is a very important case because it said that these agencies like the EPA and all these nameless bureaus do not get to write their own powers or what their own authority is. They get that only from Congress. And if Congress doesn't give it to them, they can't use it. And so we saw a similar ruling with Jarchese versus the SEC, which went the right way. Same result. It is being appealed, but people think that the Supreme Court's going to uphold the original decision against the SEC. And then, of course, the really big one that's coming up, and virtually all legal scholars on all sides think that this is going to go in the direction of overturning the Chevron doctrine. And for people who don't know what that is, it was a very important case that basically said, once again, these agencies and bureaus get to set their own standards. They get to decide what their powers are. And if Chevron is overturned, it's going to be a major, major blow to the deep state, which, of course, is the globalist favorite.
The WHO is poking its head back up again. And I'm watching this. Are we supposed to believe this guy?
Well, you know, and for people who don't know, the WHO is not, we played at the Troubadour Club in my rock and roll days, and the actual WHO sat through our concert, and a very inebriated Pete Townsend came up afterwards and slapped me on the back and said, "Hey, good show, what?" Right? I don't know that he would know it was a good show, but we're not talking about that WHO. We're talking about the World Health Organization. Like I said, they lost a big one with the China virus vax. Because there are now all sorts of journal articles coming out saying, A, these vaxes were dangerous. B, there was censorship that involved governments and big pharma and so forth. Brooke Jackson's whistleblower case is advancing through the courts. There was a backlog of vax side effects cases that are advancing through the courts. So the WHO can set their own agenda and say, oh, we want to do this, that, and the other. Thank God in America we have something called the Constitution that says, no, no, you can't unless the Senate gives a two-thirds approval. And even with the current Senate, they're not going to get two-thirds approval, let alone a new one that might come in with President Trump in November.
So who does the globalists have left? That Davos was a disaster, and yeah. WHO was a disaster. Who do they have left to regain credibility?
Well, they got celebrities, right? They got Taylor Swift. They got Shakira. They got all the celebrities, and they're using them mostly with the most recent move, which is what I call climate globalism. You've seen all these scare tactics. Every month they move the goalposts. I mean, when Al Gore said back in 2000, we had 10 years left, and that came and went 14 years ago. So every year we only have 2 years left until they move the goalpost again and say, well, we only have two more years left after this. But right now they're trying to leverage celebrities.
Well, so with the current failures and then this current administration, EV movement seems to be failing. Where do you think it's heading?
Yeah, the EV movement is failing massively. Really what happened was that reality kind of caught up to it, that once you no longer have just Elon Musk with Teslas being heavily subsidized, once you try to move it out into the general public, a few things start to stand out, such as exploding batteries. Many people have done these test drives where they tried to drive from one place in the country to another and found that it took them like 20 or 30 hours to do a four-hour drive because they kept having to stop to charge for 5 or 6 hours. The cost is ridiculous. The battery alone for a new Tesla costs between $20,000 and $28,000. And most of all, in Europe, you're starting to see the utter failure of the kind of green movement. And you've got to combine that with the Ukraine war and the whole effort to stop Putin. For whatever you want to think about Putin, good, bad, indifferent, he is definitely not a part of the globalist structure. He is their enemy. And so the Europeans have been, of course, backing the Ukraine war heavily because they hate Putin, and it's been costing them massively, especially Germany, which is having a very, very slow manufacturing economy because of all the sanctions they put on Russia.
So, Larry, before I take a break, I also want to come back to your previous book, Patriot History of the United States, but before I leave this one, all of this is an attempt to create some kind of a historical global governance.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to coagulate. It doesn't seem to come together. It keeps having these holes in the bucket. What does that tell you?
Well, you know, the thing that I found interesting is they keep trying this with different groups at the top, whether it was monarchs after the Congress of Vienna, diplomats after the Treaty of Versailles. Scientists tried it briefly after the atomic bomb, arguing there should be a world kind of cabal of scientists who would control atomic weapons, doctors after the COVID virus. And they always fail because ultimately ordinary people say, no, I don't really trust that guy to do what's in my best interest. And so no matter who they put up there, it doesn't connect to ordinary people who see legislation closer to their hometowns as being better.
Yeah, the old saying is all politics is local. Mm-hmm. But the other part of that before I take the break is there seems to be, I don't see a generational shift. You got a bunch of old guys trying to pull this off.
Yes.
You know, is that right or
now,
wrong?
You do have the new Murdoch kids who, of course, have taken Fox News way in a leftward direction. And you have the Soros kid, but there's, you know, business history as well as I do, that very seldom does the sibling have the same aggressiveness or insight as the original founder, whether it's the Ford kids or the Vanderbilt kids or the Rockefeller kids. They just don't have that same drive, energy, or insight. And I think you're going to see the same thing with these old codgers now, the Davos coots who are out there trying to foist all this junk on everybody.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a WHO rock and roll break. I'll be right back. But let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out Larry's website, wildworldofhistory.com. There's a picture of the landing page there. Check out his latest book, The Patriot's History of Globalism, and then the previous book, Patriot History of the United States. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. What an honor to have with us today, Larry Schweitzkard. He's a film producer. He is a still alive rock and roll WHO musician. He's a historian, the author of Patriot's History of Globalism, Its Rise and Decline. He's also the co-author with Michael Allen of the New York Times bestselling book called The Patriot's History of the United States. He does have a website, wildworldofhistory.com. Check it out, wildworldofhistory.com. Larry, your previous book that you you co-authored with Michael was very well received, received a lot of positive. What's the bottom line message there?
Well, America is a unique nation, and we show just in the introduction alone that we reveal what are called the four pillars of American exceptionalism, which is America had a Christian, mostly Protestant, religious tradition, which was important because of bottom-up church governance. We have common law. The only other nation in the world to have common law was England, but we're the only nation to have common law from our birth, and that is bottom-up governance as opposed to top-down governance in the form of divine right of kings or emperors or whatever. The third was private property, with written titles and deeds, again, very rare, especially at that time. And lastly, was a free market economy. No nation in human history has had these four traits, let alone all four traits from their birth. So that's the biggest takeaway from Patriots history, is that our entire history has developed because of those four factors.
And all four have been under attack at a level that we've never thought would occur in America. And I'm wondering now, just looking at numbers and polls and everything else, we may have come to the fork in the road. And what I say about that is because never have we been faced with two presidential incumbents, two four-year periods that are totally opposite. We have come to the fork of the road. Do we continue this one or do we go back to that one? What's your take?
Well, actually, I'll give you a historical correction. We have had two historical incumbents face each other before, and that would be, just the most recent would be Grover Cleveland and Harrison, because Cleveland, like Trump, is the only president to win an election, lose an election, and I believe he's going to win again, win another election. So Trump's model should be Grover Cleveland. But you're right in terms of where we are as a nation. We're extremely polarized. And I know there's a lot of people out there, the so-called moderates, who want to reach across the aisle. And I think there's times in American history, we saw it with the Civil War, for example, you just can't do that anymore. You have to have one side or the other win. And I think we're kind of at that point. By the way, your previous guest, I do want to take issue with one thing. And he said that being a lame duck would make President Trump weaker. I think it's just the opposite. I think he's got nothing to lose. I think he's the most dangerous man to the establishment ever to come into office, because they can't do nothing to him if he gets back in.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And that was Dan's opinion, so I understand that. You know, there's another highlight to this. Are you familiar with Eric McTaxis' book on Letter to the American Church?
Yes.
In there, he explains that there were 18,000 Methodist churches in Germany in the 30s. 3,000 stood clearly against Hitler. 3,000 joined Hitler. And 12,000 sat on the fence trying to find common ground, not recognizing right. that the devil owns the fence.
Good way to put it.
So what do you think of that? Are we there?
Yeah, I think absolutely, that's where we are today. For your viewers, a really good source on this is a fellow named Ryan Burge, B-U-R-G-E. He's on Substack. He does church and religious statistics all the time. And it's very clear that Christianity is in decline in America. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you've lost. And as a historian, one of the things I like to point out to people is that history changes on a dime. Anyone in May 1942 would have thought that we were very much in danger of losing World War II. I mean, the Germans were still outside of Moscow, not far back. The Japanese had taken over half the Pacific. They had wiped out all but three of our aircraft carriers. And yet within about a two-month period, almost everything shifted dramatically, including wiping out the major part of the Japanese fleet and British advances in Egypt and so on and so forth. But that's just one of many, many examples where history can change very, very fast, and God has his hand on things, and he doesn't need trends. Just needs faith. Yeah.
And he doesn't read polls. So back to the four pillars of the United States and the attempt to globalize the world, there seems to be an awakening to return to the four and a weakening of the attempt to create a global governance. And it's not just the United States. You're just seeing people trying to reject us. We don't want this cloud over the top of us. Looking back on history, you know, the other day I was sitting on an airplane. You know what I watched on an airplane for a couple of hours? I rewatched Forrest Gump. And the reason I rewatched that movie, I lived through all of that.
Yeah.
And I realized that America has these cycles. And somehow the virtue of America returns. You think we're there?
Well, and that's largely because people who are living at the time the further you get towards socialism, the worse it gets. And people go, wait a minute, this isn't good. I don't want this. And so the cycle begins to turn. You mentioned people around the world. We've seen elections now in Italy, Argentina, Slovakia, Hungary. A few weeks ago, there were elections, local elections in 7 different European countries. They all went against the globalists. One of the few exceptions is in Poland, but the people aren't really doing what the prime minister there wants either. We saw the farmer revolt in Brussels. Mm-hmm. We see the farmers revolting in France, in Ireland, and other places. So, you know, there's that line from that movie where the guy says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I think that's kind of where the world is right now.
Do you think, and I don't know how else to describe this, Larry, but do you think the Marxist attempt to destroy virtue in America, in other words, against nature and nature's God, all the LGBTQ stuff, all this garbage that's being thrown at our children has hit the wall?
Yeah, and you can see that as soon as it gets to the point that people see the absurdity of Marxism, which in itself is such a counterfeit, useless, disgusting theory, it should never be given any credibility at all. But as soon as they see, for example, men like Leah Thomas or this 6'5" male basketball player who says he's a woman playing on a girls' team and injuring girls, when people start to see the logical extension of these ideas, they go, no, that's stupid. When people see, oh, they're going to make me get a vaccine, even if I have religious objections or if I have health problems, that's stupid. And we get to that point a lot. And I think Americans are here, and certainly the polling for President Trump shows that we're here.
Is Mama Bear awake in this election cycle?
Very much so. You saw that in Florida with the parents taking over the school boards. And it's mostly women, mothers taking over these school boards and pushing back against all this stuff. Here in Arizona, we had a voucher program come in where every family who has a school-age child gets a certain amount of money. I think it's $9,000 to use as they see fit. And it can be charter school, private school, public school, homeschool, doesn't matter. Well, what happened? People exited the public schools in a mass and went to private schools, charter schools, and homeschools. And what happened to test scores? Well, the 10 top testing schools in America are now either private schools or charter schools. And so you're going to see this spread nationwide. People are tired of the indoctrination their kids are getting without an education.
You're fascinating. Can I get you back?
Any time, but you got to have rock and roll on, I'll tell you.
Okay, I can arrange that. I'll get some bumper music with Who. How's that? But anyway, let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out his website, wildworldofhistory.com. There's a picture of the landing page. Check out his two books, his latest one, The Patriot's History of Globalism, Its Rise and Decline. So what Larry has done here, he just shows you where this thing is going. And it can just continue to go where it's going, as far as I'm concerned. And check out his other book, of course, The Patriot's History of the United States. And Larry, this is fascinating. You're encouraging. Thank you for your
hard
work.
Where are you, Gary? Where are you located?
We're up in Medford, Oregon.
Medford, whoa, enemy territory. Okay.
No, wait, we're blue, but we're in a good part of the state.
Oh, okay, all right.
See you, buddy. God bless you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.